the beginning of a new church year. We are now entering the year that is called C. Advent has been called active waiting. As Jessica said in the children's message, we are not just waiting for the celebration of Christmas, but we are waiting for the fulfillment or the kingdom of God to come to earth in its fullness in Jesus Christ. Some people will only learn by experience. Others will learn by the examples of those whom they meet or read about or who are their heroes. I once heard it said that if you cannot be a good example, at least be a good warning. And so it is with the gospel lesson from Luke. A rich man clothed in purple, who feasted every day sumptuously, and who daily walked by a man whose name is known only to God, a man by the name of Lazarus. Well, the day came, as it comes in all of our lives, when the clock of life stands still, and our time here on earth has come to an end. And it just happened that both the beggar by the gate and the rich man, who was known by everybody in the community, completed this part of life's journey on the same day. It appears that Lazarus completed his journey a little before the rich man, because when the rich man went to the next reality, he looked up and he saw Lazarus being cradled in the bosom of Father Abraham, the God figure to the Jewish people in Jesus' day. The rich man found himself in torment. For all that he enjoyed in this life, the reversal was what he was experiencing in the next life. He asked Father Abraham to show a bit of grace and mercy and to allow Lazarus to dip his finger into water so that it may soothe the rich man's tongue. Even in the afterlife, the rich man saw other individuals as a means to fulfill his wishes and his desires. But Father Abraham, you will recall, said that there was a great gulf between the two realities. Those where Lazarus were could not cross over, and those who are where the rich man are could not cross over. But the gulf was impenetrable. In the season of Advent, I am reflecting once again upon a Charles Dickens book, A Christmas Carol. At the 8 o'clock service, I show short video clips of A Christmas Carol because I believe that in many ways, Charles Dickens' work parallels the gospel lesson that was given to us today. You may recall that Ebenezer Scrooge was a miserly man. If they had American money in England in his day, it would have been said of him that he pinched a penny so tightly that he made Abraham Lincoln squeal before he would spend the money from his hand. He turned a blind eye to people who were collecting for the poor and the needy and those are in want. As a matter of fact, he was very rude to them, asking, "Are there no more prisons? Are there no more poorhouses?" And when he was assured that there were still prisons and poorhouses, he said, "Well, good. I was afraid that society had collapsed." And when his nephew invited him to a Christmas drink with the family, he said that Christmas is nothing but bah humbug. "Oh, surely you don't mean that," the nephew said. "Oh, yes, I do," Scrooge replied. And when Bob Cratchit, very timidly, his clerk, asked for the day off, Scrooge said, "Well, I guess I must give it to you, but it is a terrible way to pick a rich man's pocket. I expect you want to be paid too." "Only this one day in the year," Cratchit replied. And once again, Scrooge said, "Humbug." That night on his way home, As he approached his door, the knocker on the door reflected the face of his long-deceased partner. And when he went inside his house and up to his bedchamber and warmed up his stew or his porridge for the evening, he began to hear a great clang and a cluttering. And bells that had never rung that were covered with cobwebs began to jingle wildly. And Scrooge was definitely afraid when suddenly an apparition, a specter, a ghost of his former partner, Jacob Marley, appeared in his presence, weighted down by great chains and money boxes. And Scrooge asked, What have you to do with me? Marley replied, Much. Scrooge asked about the chains and the money boxes, and Marley said that those chains and those money boxes are those things that he had forged in his own lifetime by the decisions that he made and the decisions that he did not make. And that Scrooge's chains and weights are far greater, for he has added link by link by link over the past 7 years. Scrooge felt no weight. And Marley said, You don't feel it in this life. It is in the life to come when all of our decisions are weighed in the balance. I have come for you, Marley said. I have come to do you favor so that you may change your ways. And then Scrooge said these memorable lines. You were always a good friend, and you were always a good man of business, Jacob. Business? Cried Marley, wringing its hands. Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all my businesses. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. What is your business in life? What is my business in life? Why did God, before the dawn of time, deign to have you born and place you on this planet called Earth? You know, you are the sum total of all of those ancestors who have gone before you. There has been no one in all of creation who has ever had your exact set of talents or thoughts or experiences. You are a unique individual, and so God created you and placed you here for a unique purpose. What is that unique purpose? And why was it that 80 plus years ago, two congregations in downtown Peoria, who were as different could be, should decide to come together to form a new congregation, a federated congregation? One congregation was liberal and active in the abolitionist movement and even boasted of having Robert Ingersoll, the leading agnostic of the 19th century, renting a pew from them because of their values and their views, while the other congregation was conservative and perhaps even a bit reactionary in some ways. Yet, by the grace of God, these two congregations came together after a great deal of wooing and arguing, and the action of the women of the church brought them together. And after 6 building committees were organized and dismissed, they decided to build here on the very edge of Peoria in the country. And now in 2018, God has placed us here in the center of the city. What did God have in mind? The Westminster Divines began their longer and shorter catechism with a question that gives us the clue as to what God is up to in creating you and me and forming us together as the body of Christ in this community, at this time, in this place, with unique talents and unique abilities. They said that the chief end of humanity is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The story of the conversion experience of Ebenezer Scrooge is also our story as well. So what is our business? Humanity is our business. The common welfare is our business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence. Those are our business. This communion table that we have sat here in the chancel area reminds us of our business. For in this communion table and in this sacrament, we are reminded of Christ's great commission to us as a body of Christ. Go unto all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Whoever wishes to save their life will lose it, but whoever is willing to lose their life for my sake and the gospel's, they will find real meaning in life. For it is only in losing ourselves individually and corporately that we find ourselves, and we find our greater mission and our greater purpose, and we find what our business really is. Friends, this is the joyful thing.